Thank you for listening to this message from Journey Life Center. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at journeylifecenter.org.
Awesome. This is, I don't know, I've been on the television, I've been watching all the war movies and all the stuff that comes on, and I'm just reminded, we say it, but sometimes we don't understand it, the people that died. They never had a chance at a family, maybe. There's no one following them. In June, we're going to visit Normandy Beach. We're also going to visit the Colosseum, where Christians were killed, torn apart by wild beasts. I mean, no, it's not just the military, it's those who died for the Lord. Is that all right if I include them? Amen. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here. I looked at the Civil War. I think 600,000 died in the Civil War. All of them Americans, right? And that's a lot for a much smaller population. Virtually everybody in this country felt that war. Somebody probably died in their family. Can you imagine? Nowadays, we grieve when there's just six or seven dead, and 600,000. World War II was the greatest event ever in the history of the world. It literally affected every continent, every country on the planet. 70 million people died in World War II. 70 million. It just blows your mind, the carnage, the waste of life. But we need to honor those who fell for us. Amen. I heard somebody, he was a Medal of Honor recipient, and they were calling him a hero. You know, they all say, I'm no hero. But I heard one of them say, I'm not the hero. The heroes are the ones that didn't come home. Those are the heroes. The ones that didn't come home. Wow. So I know it's a day to grill out and be with family, but please remember those who have paid such a price so you can be free and grill those burgers. Amen. God is good. Wow. Okay, praise the Lord. Appreciate you being here today. Good crowd on Memorial Day. I can remember a time when half the church wasn't here on Memorial Day. They went to West Virginia. You laugh. Literally half the church would go to West Virginia. I'm glad we're over that. I told a pastor in West Virginia once, I said, man, your churches must be full on these holidays. He said, no, all our people go to Florida. So there's that. Amen. Whew, hallelujah. All right. How many are ready for the word? Oh, come on. You can do better than that. Y'all pray for me. It's been a long haul, I think, but the Lord will help me through it. I have 12 points. Now, don't freak out. Don't freak out. Each one is short. How many believe I could do each point in 3 minutes? There is a horrible lack of faith in here. Terrible lack of faith. Wow. So if I can't get through it, Norma, you'll be ready, right? Norma, you could just step right up and take over. My notes are right here, one page, right here. And if Norma can't do it, Jason, I don't even know where Jason is. Where did he go? There he is, peeking through the window. West Virginia. No, he's not in West Virginia. Oh, my goodness. Whew. All right. Can I take this off? You all right? I'll be Johnny Cash today. Now his songs are going through my head. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. So it's Memorial Day, and what the Lord put on my spirit to preach, he said, remember. So I entitled this, Things to Remember. Things to Remember. And I went through the scriptures, and I want to see where God tells us to remember something. How many think that might be important when God says remember something? So I looked up the word remember and remembrance and remembered and all the different. And there were 270 instances. So just be glad I don't have that many points. But a lot of them are God remembered. That's another whole sermon. I think I'm going to need to preach that next week. Well, what God remembers. But 12 things here that we need to remember. Amen. So how many are ready? How many think we could do this? Number one. Y'all keep track of the numbers, will you? The Bible says, remember where you came from. Exodus 13 and 3. And Moses said to the people, remember, say remember, this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. The Lord brought you. Remember the day he brought you out of this place. How many know we need to remember the day God saved us? Some of you, that's four or five times. There shouldn't be, but remember the day he brought you out. Remember the day he brought you out of Egypt and brought you into the promised land. Can I get an amen? You need to remember that day. Be thankful for that day. Number two, I told you. Remember the Sabbath. Now, I've been preaching about that. I don't need to spend a lot of time here either. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. To keep it holy. It's the only one of the Ten Commandments. It is a commandment, by the way. To remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. It's the only one. It's the only one of the Ten Commandments that starts with remember. Why is that? Because it's the only one we tend to forget. We never forget not to kill people. We kind of got that one down pat. Amen? So, I won't get into the other commandments. All right. But it seems when you get to the Sabbath, we need to remember. You know, it's the only one of the Ten Commandments that are present at creation. Adam's first day. First day was not a day to work, but a day to rest. Sabbath is not just resting from what you've been through, but Sabbath is resting for what's ahead. You need to be in the house of the Lord. And if it's not Sunday, you need to make that day because you're made for rest. Can I get an amen? Number three, we need to remember how he leads us. How he leads us. Deuteronomy 8 and 2, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Remember the Lord, how he led you. Now, this encourages me because he's talking about the wilderness. And people often say, well, the children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years. Yeah, I know that word's in the scripture, but it doesn't mean they were lost. I don't care what you're going through, you're not lost. I don't care what you're facing, it's not the end of the world. You know, listen, you know, you might be in a wilderness, but he's still leading you. Not only that, but he can use the wilderness to teach you some things. So when you get to the promised land, when you get to your promise, you'll be ready to live in your promise. So praise God in the wilderness. Amen. Come on and praise him. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Number four. Remember the Lord. Many times it says this, so I gotta hit this one. Deuteronomy 8:18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So in other words, remember the Lord, because he is your source of prosperity. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about the resources you need to do the things God has called you to do. Remember the Lord. We get it in our heads sometimes. I could do this. I could take care of this. Oh, no. You might be able to, but you'll mess it up eventually. Oh, you're not going to amen me. Okay. Remember the Lord, because he is your source of prosperity. Come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And when he had, no, 1 Corinthians, no, that's the scripture I told you to get rid of. But that's a good scripture. No, it is the right scripture. I'm sorry. Norma, you ready to go? And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in. One of the reasons we go to the table is to remember the Lord. Remember the price he paid. Remember what he went through. Remember he's seated on the throne. Remember that he's ever interceding for us. Woo, hallelujah. Yeah. Remember the Lord. Number five, past failings. Deuteronomy 9:7. Remember! Exclamation point. Do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you've been rebellious against the Lord. 40 years, every day you've messed up. Now, I know God forgets our sins. But he's God, so actually he does remember. So that word remember there, for God forgetting your sins, is he actually forgives. He actually does not hold it against you. He kind of forgets. He kind of acts as if you never did it. Wow. My God, we can go home right now. Yeah. That's how he does. So I think, listen, church, we need to remember even our failings. Not to depress you. Not to put fear in your heart. Not for you to feel guilty. Because you're done with guilt. He forgave you of all that. But I think we need to go back sometimes and remember, yeah, I messed up, but he got me through it. Yeah, I messed up, but he forgave me. If you'll go back and remember your failings, it'll just make God greater in your life. Woo! Come on, church. Hallelujah. Turn this mic up, amen. As my voice goes on, you need to pick me up. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember. Therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So there are times we need to go back to our first works. There are times that we need to fix some things. We need to remember we messed up, but God got us through it. And I promise you there's something to be learned there, so relearn it. Who's with me? Number 6. Yeah, I'm doing good. Remember his mighty works. Wow. 1 Chronicles 16 and 12. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and judgments of his mouth. Wow. Can I take a few extra minutes here? I want to testify. Can I testify? Sometimes you need to know your pastor's been through it. And I'm still standing. Yeah. I can always count on Charlie. I got saved in the month of November, got cleaned up, sanctified in December, and got the Holy Ghost in January. And got called to preach in June. And some of them said, "What took you so long?" They saw it in me right at the beginning. Oh, my God, I didn't see it. I said, "Lord, that's crazy." But I remember the first really big trial. Anybody remember that after you got saved? And that first trial that almost tripped you up. Anybody remember that? Nobody? Okay, a few. Oh, you didn't have any trials. That's what it is. Now, I might have been some little bitty ones, but I remember the one that almost got me. It wasn't long after I got saved. Wasn't long after I got the Holy Ghost. By the way, I got the Holy Ghost. Here's how I got the Holy Ghost, because I was an ex-Catholic. Who walked into an old-fashioned Church of God, revival-like church, where people fell out everywhere, ran the aisles, the back of the seats. If I walk the back of these seats, you know it's God. Those seats were nailed down. These aren't. You might hit it right, but it'll still fall over. I could tell you so many stories of the craziness that went on. But before I got the Holy Ghost, I hadn't been saved very long. And back then, by the way, that church ran about 70. It's the church that Gloria's mom was a charter member of, and Gloria cut her teeth on those pews. Amen. I can't ever get an amen from Gloria. But I walked into wild services. Nothing like the Catholics. Come on, ex-Catholics, you know. Remember that first Holy Ghost service? What is going on here? I didn't understand it, but the Holy Ghost just... I didn't even have the Spirit yet, but I... Listen, if you're saved, you have the Spirit. There's a difference between the Spirit being in you and you being in the Spirit. And I remember God speaking to me and saying, "I know you don't understand it, but it's real." And I said, "All right, Lord, I'm good with that." How many know the understanding will come if you'll believe God, that it's Him? And back then we had what's called a Y'all Come Choir. Y'all know what a Y'all Come Choir? How many remember the All Y'all Come Choirs? Yeah. That's like anyone that wants to come up can come up and join the choir. How many know that's really risky? Because there are just way too many people who think they can sing, and they're the loudest. And I remember I'm in the back row, men in the back, women in the front. I don't know why, but that's the way it is. And I'm in the back row, and Gloria will remember him, old Brother Lucas. I tell you, brother, you've heard me talk about Brother Lucas. If there ever was a godly man, that was him. He was so kind. So, I mean, he was just like Jesus. His kids were the same way. They're still living. They, you know, and his wife was the same way. And he just kind of he didn't spend a lot of time with me, but he, you know, I was kind of under his wing. And I was standing next to Brother Lucas in the back row of the choir. And he raised his hands and began mumbo jumbo. He was taller than me. What was that? I hadn't been in the church. I mean, I saw wild stuff, but, you know, to have someone speak in tongues right next to me, I'm like, I couldn't go far. And I somehow I knew that was real too. So I said, all right, Lord, I want the craziness. And I learned about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I began to seek the Holy Ghost. Every service, I'm trying to get the Holy Ghost. I'm not, listen, for all of you that have tried, I feel your pain. Especially men, it's hard for us to let go emotionally and surrender, right? It's harder for men, it really is, to receive the baptism. And I prayed, and I was still in the Navy, wasn't even dating Gloria yet. Amen. Can I tell a story? I had been there like 10, 12 times. The church ran 70. It's like right here. That's it. And I walk after church. I met her. Somehow we met in the back. And we shook hands. And she said, are you new here? I wrote that one off. I said, no, I don't think that's the one. I've been here 10 times, and she thinks I'm new. This is why we don't put Gloria on the greeter team. We don't put her. It's going to be a long afternoon. It's gonna be a long... Anyway, I was in the United States Navy. I was still living on board the ship. And back then, there was probably almost maybe a dozen churches within driving distance of the base, Church of God. I mean, they were everywhere. And it seemed back then, at one time or another, one of those churches were in revival. And if they were in revival, I was there. Me and my buddies that all got saved on the ship. We sailors, here we go. We all bundled, all get in one car. Every church that was in, and back then a short revival was a week long. Every night. How many remember those revivals? Every night we'd have revival, and then another church would have. So I was, except for duty days, I was probably in a church 5 or 6 times a week seeking the Holy Ghost. And I remember one little bitty church. We were in revival, and I was up seeking the Holy Ghost, and the service was almost over, and all of a sudden I thought I spoke in tongues. Oh, and they're getting ready to dismiss, so I got up, I start walking down the aisle, and old Sister Atkins, Diane Atkins, yeah, well, she wasn't old then, but old now, older than me. So as I'm walking down like that aisle down there, I'm kind of mumbling. I think I got it. I think I got it. And I started walking by here, and I looked at her and said, I think I got it. And she looked at me and said, there ain't no thinking about it. You either got it or you don't. That sound like her? You either got it or you don't. I think, oh, my God. The churches start emptying. I walked out of the church. I said, I either got it or I don't. I either got it or I don't. And I just started, I walked down. This little bitty church was in a neighborhood. I mean, there were houses, you know, just a residential area. And I walked to the end of the block just a little bit, half a block, and I went around the corner, and there was a house there with this huge step. I remember that step. And I sat there on that step, and I said, you either got it or you don't. I got it. And the Holy Ghost broke out in me, and I began to speak in tongues, and I was making a shout down, and the little old lady that lived in the house comes to the front door, and she's looking out, and I'm like, woo! She lived next to a Pentecostal church. She goes, oh, there's another one. And I remember looking up. I'll never forget the sky that day. When the cloud in the sky, I remember all the stars and the peaceful tranquility of that moment. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I said all that to say this. My first trial, at some point, the enemy started messing with me. Right after I got the Holy Ghost, and I'm acting crazy like the rest of them. And the enemy got on my shoulder and said, this ain't real. This is all emotion. And I'm like, you didn't get the Holy Ghost. You were just all worked up. Sister Atkins got in your head. you didn't, you know. And I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe. Gosh, I don't know. And I'm starting to doubt it. And I just, for days, I'm like, oh, man, is this real or not? I need to know, Lord. Is this just all just weirdness? And I began to doubt the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then, you know what? Then all of a sudden, then next, I started doubting when God healed me. And then I started doubting this miracle that I saw, because we saw miracles. And I began to doubt things. I said, well, if that ain't real, then that ain't real, then that ain't real, then that isn't real. And I got back to my salvation. And I said, well, if none of that is real, and then I thought, wait a minute. I know where I came from. I know no man, no counselor, nobody in this world could have helped me. You know what I was into. You know what my background is. He said, no, 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 no. That's real. That's real. What God brought me. I've come too far. If you've been saved 5 minutes, you've come too far to turn back now. Oh, somebody help me in the house. That salvation's real. I've been through it. He brought me out of it. And if that's real, then the healing's real. And the running in the Spirit's real. And the Holy Ghost is real. And speaking in tongues is real. Hallelujah. Somebody shout. So much for that trial. The devil is a liar. And I took that trial to this day. The enemy can't, I've been through too much. Let me catch my breath. Okay, that was longer than 3 minutes. Are you okay? Number 7. Remember, he's your rock. Then they remembered, Psalm 78, then they remembered that God was their rock. And the Most High God, their Redeemer. I know we talk, oh, he's my rock. But do you really understand what we're talking about here? Back then, houses were just huts, basically, unless you had a lot of money. There's not really much of a middle class either. So most people just lived in a one room, made of wood or sticks or something, and then you got the thatch roof or maybe two rooms, and the other room's the barn. So the animals live there. And that's your, but here's the thing. If you knew you weren't going anywhere, before you built that wooden house, you'd find some rocks, some boulders, and you dig a little bit and you put it down there, and another one, and you have what's called a foundation. Because a lot of times those houses would burn. A lot of times those houses would blow over with a good wind. A lot of times somebody might terrorize you, but you know what? They would lose their house, but they still had that rock. So they can always rebuild. Listen, I don't care what the devil does to you. I don't care if he burns you all the way down. You still have a rock, and you can always rebuild in the name of the Lord. Jesus is the rock. Not only the rock, but he's the cornerstone. How many agree? Can I get a drink of water? I'm getting old. I need to drink more. I know. Okay. Drink more water. This is why you're single, Ben. This is why. Oh, you're on Ben's side. Okay. I don't care what Ben says. I say, this is why you're single. Where was I before Ben messed with me? Where was I? Oh, drinking water. Okay. Okay, let's move on. Number 8. Remember him in the whirlwind. The water surrounded me, even to my soul, Jonah. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. Oh, Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Now, I know that this is one story that absolutely people say, there ain't no way, the Bible's wrong, a whale cannot swallow a person. Probably not. But you need to understand, this is before the flood. And every creature on the planet is bigger than it is now. They had alligators back then, but they were 10 times bigger. Come on. They had birds, but they were huge. Even people were larger, and there really were giants. I saw that on TV the other day. William Shatner told me, amen. You watch it too, don't you? Yeah. He was going through it, and I was aware of it, but they have found giant skeletons all over the planet. And a lot of times the government, when they find out, the U.S. government, they'll come get the bones and hide them away, and nobody knows about it. It's true. And by giant, I mean from 8 foot to 11 foot, somewhere in there. The proof is there. There were giants. Remember the angels and all that stuff. The earth was, anyway, I better not get into all that. We'll be here all day. But there were sea creatures, a whale's a mammal, but there were fish, huge. Remember the dinosaurs? People say, well, if I get the DNA, I can recreate a dinosaur. No, dinosaurs can't exist today. They can't. Because the gravitational pull and the atmosphere is different. They're wondering, how do these dinosaurs breathe? Because they looked at their lungs and they said, there's no way you can get enough oxygen in that big of a body. So how did they didn't say, I don't know. I know. The atmosphere is different. It was thicker, heavier. So they were able to breathe richer oxygen, which made them grow even larger. You got me? Large fish that probably could swallow him. Now watch this. He says, there he is in the belly of the whale. I hate it when that happens. That's, don't you? He said, I got seaweed wrapped around me. Stomach acid. Whales do this too, by the way. They just open their mouth and whatever's there, they just swallow. They don't chew. And he just went, and there he goes. And then the stomach will break it down, okay? And that's what happens. So there he is. But here's what got me. And a couple verses before this, it makes it very clear, where he says, I turned toward Jerusalem. I turned toward your temple. Now, you might gloss over that, but remember where he is. How does he know which way is the temple? Even today, Jews, when they pray, they always face the temple. Muslims do the same thing. They always, sometimes you get on an airplane and a Muslim, it's time for him to pray. And he'll turn the right direction and there he is in the aisle praying. They're more sanctified than we are. More committed, I think, sometimes. But he says, I will turn toward Jerusalem. And all of a sudden it hit me. It just hit me. Even in the belly of the whale, I know which way God is. Even in the darkest moment, I know where the light is. I don't care what I'm going through. I know where to turn. I know how to angle myself so I can receive and hear from the Lord and see his glory. You got it? In the whirlwind. Number 9, remember Lot's wife. Luke 17:32. We think, you know, Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. It's the only one I got memorized. I just can't remember where it is. My memory is. But this must be the next shortest. 3 words. Remember Lot's wife. How many know who Lot is? Lot's wife, right? Yeah, these wives. The angel said, don't look back. I don't know exactly why, except that maybe if you're looking back, there must be something wrong in your heart. You're missing something you don't need. But the temptation, right? Fireballs are coming. And they think they've found the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I could talk about it, what the ground is, and it seems like there something fell from heaven and it burned, and they found Sodom and Gomorrah. And right near there is a pillar of salt, pretty much shaped like a human. And it's, of course, it probably melted away over the time, but people say that's Lot's wife. Can you imagine going up to that pillar and say, darling, you shouldn't have done it. Lot's wife. But she heard all the and the fire and the screams, and she's got his hand, and they're running. And amen. Turned into a pillar of salt. A pillar of salt. I don't know why, but how many will heed my words? Don't look back. There are things we talked about you need to remember, but not in the sense that you're wanting to go back. Yeah, don't look back. Number 10. How many believe I'm doing okay? Remember his words, John 16:4. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But as he's getting to the end, close to the crucifixion, he says, remember. Remember my words. How many know we got to remember the word? I want to encourage you. You say, well, my memory. Listen, if you read it, it's in you. And whether you have a good memory or a bad memory, the Holy Ghost can. I like I said, I don't memorize anything. I'm lucky to remember my own phone number. Thank God for the number one. When I call myself, that's weird. Jesus. But where was I? Huh? Remember the word. If it's in you, the Holy Ghost can bring it to your remembrance. I want to tell you something. When I first got saved, I read the Bible cover to cover. The first year, I read the Bible cover to cover 6 times. And the only thing that would come to me is I remember as a Catholic the stories. They were good at Bible stories. And I remember that as a kid. You know, mostly New Testament, some of them in the Old Testament. But I pulled it all together, and I read it again, and I read it again. By the way, if you read about 20 chapters a day, you can do it. 6 times. Read 3 a day. You can read the whole Bible in 1 year. 3 chapters. Why did I do that? I wanted to get it in me. Listen, you don't need to understand it all. Just get it all. Get it in you. Put it in your mind. You know, your brain records everything. Oh, yeah, some of you know. That's why you can't sleep at night. It keeps coming back. Everything's recorded. Everything's there. Everything's there. Wow. Remember the word. Say, remember the word. Number 11, real quick, remember the poor. Galatians 2:10, they desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. And you remember Paul, everywhere he went, he's taking up collection because the church in Jerusalem was going through a famine and he's raising money. And his thing is, preach the gospel, but remember the poor. Do your calling, but remember the poor. Remember those that are without. Whew. You're being blessed. They're not. Remember the poor. Can I get an amen? Number 12. There are T-shirts out in the hallway. I survived Pastor's 12-point message. It's not even 40 minutes. Remember to watch and pray. Revelation 3, verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Come on. That are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have heard, received, and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Watch. And pray. Luke 21:36. Jesus said, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray. Watch. Stay alert and stay in communion. Stay awake and stay in communion. Do you got me? Take this home. I think all 12 are listed. Put it on your refrigerator and keep remembering the things God tells you to remember. Would you stand with me? I'm going to let you go. Jesus, help us. Hallelujah. Whew. I didn't even need Norma. She's not even listening to me. Oh, God is good. How many remember what you were before you met Jesus? Oh, I know some of you. Some of you, I remember.